Good evening, everybody. It's 7 o'clock, it's Wednesday, and we're trudging through the joy of sacrifice. We've been on it for quite a number of weeks now, Ivan. I believe this is the 16th week, even though the sacrifice is number 14. This is sacrifice 14, and we're working with The Joy of Sacrifice by E.J. Gold. And the fundamental principle in the book, and this is something that we have to recall each time that we approach this, is that, yes, sacrifice, but hidden within it is what it reveals to that sacrifice. And it brings forth actually a treasure that is hidden below that which you are sacrificing. And it's possible that nothing, that principle is no more exemplified than the chapter before us, Ivan. We're going to see it in great detail. And I strongly urge you to go back and read the header to the whole book itself and some of the first comments that are made about Corridor of Madness to get the context of sacrifice. Know where you are here. We have left the common world several chapters ago. We are now in a different place altogether. And it's important to know that this is not a path that has something to do with modifying the life that you're currently living and just making it better. There's a whole other group that's doing that work, okay? It's called the New Age. Prosperity consciousness. There's a whole bunch of people wanting to do that. Go ahead and go with that work, okay? And, you know, the comment is really be yourself. Find yourself and be who you were meant to be. And I say go forth and do that if that's what you were, you know, what do these individuals mean? And usually what they mean is some modification of the very ego plant upon which the psyche is grown. This is a different plant, and it's in a different garden altogether. This chapter is up. It was unsettling for me, Ivan.
This chapter was unsettling.
Yeah, this particular paragraph or this particular. And so let's get started. We'll get started. You're right. So. This is called Sacrifice 14, The Sacrifice of Heart, Life of Redemption. Sacrifice of Heart, Life of Redemption. Okay? So we're going to go a little bit slow on this one. It's not that long, but it's particularly meaty. I'll read the opening sentence, and then we can struggle with it for a little while, okay? It is here in this sacrifice that one gathers the will, ability, and knowledge to free the centers from slavery to the psyche. If we've been down the road far enough to understand that the psyche is the word that E.J. was using at the time to what we now refer to as the machine, the human biological machine, the sleeping machine, the package of humanity that we went toward in the Great Betrayal. We left and we adopted that methodology. So now it says it is here in this particular sacrifice called Sacrifice of Heart that one gathers Notice the will, the ability, and the knowledge. Those are three different things. Gathers the will. We understand that a little bit, though our will, of course, is very low at this point. But it's not. It is there. There is will. What is meant by the word ability here and knowledge? Anybody? You want to take a shot at that, or
well, maybe we should see what comments we get.
Diamond or Silverdale? Anything coming through, Molly?
Well, Pathmark's
will ability and knowledge. So this isn't just a sacrifice that says, oh, go ahead and make the sacrifice. This is a sacrifice that says, do you have the ability to make it? Do you have the ability to pay the price at this point? Now, we're not without tools here. We're not. It's not impossible, but it's also not. It's not something simplistic or that just simply anybody can do. I'm going to read. There was one posting by the time I left this evening on the site under wingsofchaos.com, Joyous Sacrifice, by Harry Lundell. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read that. That might focus a little bit, okay?
Okay, yeah.
At this point in the work, we have passed Morton's Fork, and we have left our old ways behind. Everything we do, think, and feel is now penetrated by a particular mood that we have spent a long time building, only to discover it was always just a tenth of an inch away. Watching sitcoms or football games or gossiping with relatives now requires a conscious act of acquiescence. We can do it, but we don't get lost in them as we did before. There may be a few holdouts, like occasionally getting angry or fearful, but their fleeting presence is spasmodic and empty. Their reign is over. That's the issue. The reign is over, and that's going to be, we'll see this in the next paragraph. Included in these is a primate affection called love. Now no longer the machine sentimentality, it separates things into this and that, you and me, good and bad. Love becomes more like awareness itself. Everywhere and everything, yet none of them. This life has now become a buying back of real destiny, converting the paper money of the historical personality into the gold of the essential being. Converting. Now we can appreciate just a little what Geshe Wangyal must have experienced when he wrote, like a blind man finding a jewel in a heap of garbage, to what good fortune was this illumination born in me?
I'm down with that. Yeah, like a heap of garbage. That sounds familiar. Now, you know, something that's really, I really like that post. I think that's great, what Harry wrote there. And, you know, it makes me, I have a, what do you call it, it resonates with me. The feeling I get from this chapter, I don't know if it's different from what you were saying, but it feels to me like a plateau, which is like right where Harry starts out there. It's like a, you know, that you've reached a, you're beyond the point of no return. It's like this process is not actually reversible at this point, and you're immersed in it. And then the issue here is, it seems to me that it's like even that language which says gather.
Gather.
Yeah. This is like, what is gather? That's, maybe gather is like something that's scattered, you gather, but it's also like a harvest.
It's a gleaning, we're gathering.
You've done, look at all of this other journey, you know, how many gateways you've passed, I mean, how many markers have you already passed? And this to me is almost like a stasis. It's like, okay, these things now can come to you and you put this together. And it's not saying, you know, if you have the will or if you have the ability and knowledge, it's saying here available to you are the will, ability, and knowledge. I mean, that's how I'm reading that first opener anyway. It also struck me that the will, ability, and knowledge are a preview of the three centers, right? In a way,
yeah.
It's like the will is like, okay, I'm in motion. The will, like the moving center and the, which is which?
More has been put on us now.
Knowledge is the thinking center.
More has been put on us now than in the past. basically we're being, in a certain way, in my estimation, we're being called to action. We acknowledge and embrace the fact that some essential self is alive and bubbling. It is there. Mm-hmm. It is active and alive. Hello? And now it's time to take and grasp the responsibility for that and take that forward and go forth with what the task before us might be. Let's read the next paragraph real quick, Ivan.
Yes.
Do you want to go ahead and read that?
Sure, I can read it. The thinking center becomes the higher center, the center of understanding. The emotional center becomes, in its higher state, the feeling center. And the moving center and seat of sensations becomes the higher center, the center of co-creation, in which one creates commotion, with the universe, aligning one's own wishes with the universal will. The center of automatic functions becomes, in its higher state, the center of being. With these higher centers in operation, one is now able to be, to feel, to do, and to sense the whole of oneself. Boy, that's a lot. that's a major project right there.
It is a major project. And where we are now is that's the threshold before us. And so some of that is possible for us to go forth and begin to grasp, to not just go into the mechanical linear thinking that we're used to, but to stand in I call it a moment of chaos or a moment of wonder in each of these platforms, whether it's the emotional center, instead of normally just reacting. You know, can you just allow it as sensation, like in Chapter 2 of Practical Work on Self? Just allow it as sensation to flow through you as energy, rather than to react.
I'm going to read something here to you, if you don't mind. Piangio says, it is interesting that the formatory apparatus is now the center of being. The worm becomes the butterfly.
Yeah.
Is it the formatory? Is that the center of automatic functions?
Of thinking.
I thought that would be the thinking center.
Yeah. So we move forward with these. We're at a threshold where there's possibility. And even though the glimpse is small at this, because we're young in this, even though our glimpse is small, it is not, we are not in the arid desert anymore. That reminds me directly of something that you told me once about the desert.
I see that this is a death touch for the personality, because it is asking to renounce everything that is holding the historical personality together, in terms of beliefs, in terms of emotion, whatever we have defended for years, the thinking, the whatever holds it together, is being asked to be renounced to.
Passage here. It's saying to make this crossover. You know, it's a full crossover, which is what I thought that Harry was referring to.
Yeah,
as the past that crossing, or whatever.
And the next paragraph is: in order to accomplish this seemingly easy task, it will be necessary first to sacrifice one's beliefs, emotions, feelings, thinking, and ordinary compassion, all those imaginary properties of ordinary man. Okay, so we have to find ways and means. That's our task here in this class. We're students, okay? We're students, and we've gone down the road, and we've captured a few things. But what's our task now is find ways and means to specifically apply this. How then do you sacrifice some of these things? How then do you sacrifice your beliefs? And this is not psychological. This is not a psychological reordering of ourselves. Let that stay as it would, as it is. Even in the 17th century, Spinoza says, I don't care that you have infirmities. The job isn't to change the infirmities. It's to glean the new life, to glean something new going forward. I brought my Bible tonight, Ivan.
Yes, David brought his Bible.
Okay, and there's a reason. Go ahead, what's the question?
I don't know, because what do you mean by ordinary?
Okay, and so
who got my attention also.
So the dose rate raised the question, what does EJ mean by ordinary compassion and sentiment? Then did they say sentiment? Okay. Let me read this passage from Ephesians, and that might help us.
Yeah, well, also, I think we're going to want to move into this concept that's presented here of the catalyst.
Okay, we're not ready for that yet. We need
to
do a little bit more work before we get to that next. But
we should come back to this ordinary compassion.
It's a primary question that the dose asks then. What does EJ mean by ordinary compassion, sentimentality, ordinary thinking, ordinary feeling? What is the answer that Piff gives? One must become empty and sacrifice one's highest ideal, Piff is telling us. Yes.
What have you got in the Bible?
Yeah. So this is Ephesians. I'm in chapter 4. And, you know, it's a bit wordy. Paul was a bit wordy, but we'll persist, okay? This is the King James Version. Thus I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. That's kind of technical when it comes to biblical criticism, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned in Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and ye have been taught by him as the truth, that ye may put off concerning the former conversation the old man, that ye may put off concerning the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful tasks, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So he's talking about moving away from the old man and becoming the new man. Chapter 4, 17 to 22, I believe it was. So if we can give up 2,000 years of hyperbole that the Christians have put on all those words and just look at the heart of it. And what it's saying is to put on the new man. How do you put on the new man? As I study Christianity and the methodology that they take, it's often, not always, externally based. Change your external behavior, and therefore you are Christ-like. What I'm saying is this particular work is more pure than that. This work that we're seeing interpreted in a very unique way by EJ is internally motivated. You have to look within. And we are looking in old eyes at how we work. Out of those eyes spring the old compassion items and empathy.
Out of old eyes. Yeah.
Out of old eyes. We put on new eyes and become the new man and stand in on new ground. It's very fertile if we can get there.
Yeah, my association with what I think of the Mal's question, I guess, you know, the Doss question, is the you know, that it's ethics. You know, it's like my ethics to be compassionate. You know, it's my morality. It's what it's my rules that I follow. It's my what I ought to do. You know, I ought to give change to the musician outside the food co-op. You know, and I ought to take pity on the poor. You know, I ought to participate in political protest demonstrations or something. You know, this is like whatever it is for me. This is my deduced compassion.
Correct.
From,
well,
from my life, it's what
I've very
good,
Ivan.
Calculated. It's what I've built up as an image or a behavior of compassion. Let's say so that's by definition a historical person. You know, it's a historical personality. So you know, the other thing that comes to mind on this is, like, it was a stunner for me. This was many years ago. I think reading The Human Biological Machine, or maybe even reading Uspensky or somewhere in there in the fourth way stuff, that, you know, negative emotions, we're going to observe and watch your negative emotions. And so, yeah, that's anger and fear and greed and all that, but it's also, how about bubbliness and joy and excitement and giddiness?
Enthusiasm.
Those are all negative emotions also.
Yeah.
Because it's not because they're negative, so to speak. They're not dark emotions.
They're not world negative.
No. Well, they're not evil, nasty emotions. But I mean, they are artificial in a way. There's some way in which their personality
in the human biological machine, EJ is very clear on what is a negative emotion. It's any emotion that's reactive.
Yeah.
So if someone says to you, you know, oh gosh, I thought you did a great job. You know, I think you were just wonderful in how you did that. Someone says that to you and you go, oh gosh, you know, I thank you, my ego thanks you. And so you react to that. That is, by that definition, and it's a good definition when you're talking about transformational work, by definition, it's a negative emotion.
Emotion, yeah. Well, this is what I'm thinking, the compassion. What is it called? What is the phrase? The
ordinary
life?
Compassion or empathy.
Ordinary compassion, yeah.
If it springs out of ought, that's a very good way of putting it, that all the philosophers will recognize that in logic. If it springs out of ought, it's derived.
Well, that's one way. That's what came, I think of ethics. But it's sort of just like even an impulse. I mean, even if you have your impulse is to be compassionate, but that's still your machine generated that.
So Piff told us, give up and sacrifice even your highest ideals.
Yeah,
is that right,
say?
Molly?
Yeah, what did Piff say? Well, your heart, it is, it's a sacrifice.
Could I say, David, comment something? All right?
Go ahead, please.
How I see that this sacrifice in my experience, in terms of belief, emotions, and intellect, I always face that challenge in the sense that I know that it has been muddied. It's muddy. It's cloudy. My perception is limited. So I don't have to defend them with tooth and nails. I don't have the big picture. I have a plenty of identification with them and I identify, but not in this sacrifice. This, I see it as to put in doubt, not to give full fuel to whatever we believe, not to whatever we think and whatever we feel, because it has been, it's limited. It's very limited. And I'm going to continue with Piaggio says, can we sacrifice our beliefs but by forgiving ourselves for our limitations? That is a question that Piaggio says. Then Lost Horizon says, the chapter says, we must sacrifice all those imaginary properties, the operative world, there is all.
What was the last phrase?
I think he's reading from the chapter.
The operative world, there is all. So that's how, at least in my experience, I have approached these things. I don't know if I have given them all up, but what I have given up is that I have the total picture, that my perception, feelings, and whatever moral ethics are clouded, are muddy, are very limited. And that gives me the chance, at least, that there is a new reality seen from the essential self.
There is a new reality. So part of it is, how do we sacrifice these highest ideals, as Pip is indicating to us? How do you actually go about it? So the dose say you should shatter your ideals on the rock of truth. So yes, nice. As you have to know that you are standing in belief first and foremost. Can you stand in wonder, an active wonder, and yet at the same time not be passive? Does that make sense, Ivan? Stand in active wonder, but don't be passive. Don't just sit there with your jaw open and wonder, but be ready for the movement of chaos upon us. This is partly what we're living in. This is the new man takes that on, is willing to live in this new land. If you walk into a situation, be poised in the sense for anything to happen. There are times when I'm moving around and I walk around and I get these, I'm going to call them twinges of paranoia, that suddenly it's just all going to change. It's just going to change. Like this, not like, oh, I'm afraid of an earthquake, but it's like suddenly I'm in a purple sea or something swimming, or that wall has suddenly become a Technicolor movie. And you walk around like that for a while, it's a bit unsettling. But you never truly do know what's going to happen. You don't know.
Well, you seem to be talking about us having the sensation that your perception is a dream. You know that your perception is
it is a dream.
Is a mock-up. I mean, it's a
samsara.
Synthetic. It's a what do you call it? It's an imitation of something.
We know that's the truth.
Yeah.
We know that what we're looking at is our perception of what we think is there. So much of what I look at, when I look around me right now, so much of, I interpret all of that. And I interpret it from my set of emotional, mental, and moving centrum methodology.
Yeah.
All the time. And I'm saying that from moment to moment, we can stand in this other place. Not particularly comfortable, but it's fruitful. Not only is it fruitful, but at some point it begins to become an important place for us to stand. It becomes an important place for us to stand, okay? So, what's the purpose of this chat? Why does it say redemption? What does that mean? life of redemption. Sacrifice of heart, life of redemption. What are we redeeming here? Is Silverdale around?
Yeah, I am, David. Boy, I am really frustrated. I'm not getting on live here, so I'm just kind of listening and trying to work on this computer at the same time.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you can't get on, George, but what do we mean by, why is there a subchapter here, subheading of redemption, or do you want to take a shot at that?
Well, you know, the way I see it is that when we enter this life, in order to survive, we naturally develop our historical personality to deal with the environment around us, and in this sense, we lose our natural birthright, which is our essential self. It's the life force embedded in our biology, as well as submerged beneath the historical personality, and the whole of this joyous sacrifice is to help us, to wean us off of our dependence upon the historical personality and bring us back to our original birthright in the higher centers of the essential self. Go ahead.
One moment. This particular sacrifice, in a sense, as Silverdale is telling us, that's the drama of the first 13 sacrifices and the joy of sacrifice in general, is to wean us off of that into a new lifestyle. This particular sacrifice raises the bar a bit. That's all. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
And David, that's a very nice way of saying it. Or another way you could say it's a stair step to heaven, a staircase to heaven, in which each subsequent sacrifice is built on the previous one, and here we are nearing the very top of the staircase back to our essential self, in which we finally learned, oh, I see, I now know how to pacify my historical personality, my thoughts, my feelings, my movements, it takes time for the essential self to grow. It's just like an infant, so it takes time for that to happen. But kind of like puberty, overnight it happens at some point. And when it happens, this is where this chapter comes in. We suddenly realize that we've been, our original birthright of the essential self has been redeemed. We've redeemed it through our own conscious labors, intentional suffering. And
I think that work, you know, to have the essential self present, and with attention, you know, in order to carry out some obligation or to do some work, I think that the way that we approach that is by baby steps. In other words, it is because of the infancy, you know, the undevelopment of that essential self, that you have to start out with the crawling stage, and you have to take baby steps, and then you then start to stand up, and you get flex muscles. It's all atrophied, in one of EJ's terms. It's like it has to be brought back to life, and it has to be put into circulation or put into effect. But this is like, this sacrifice is talking about having the will. You know, it's like, okay, you aren't going to have anything. You aren't going to do anything unless you have the will. But then you have to have the ability, you know, which you may develop by hacking away at it, by doing a little at a time, a little trial and error.
I'm standing here with two long-term musicians. How did you learn to play the violin? Did it automatically come in?
I want to ask Matt. No, it didn't automatically come to
How did you learn to play the guitar? Like in 1 minute? And then you were playing it?
You take lessons. Actually, you generally start out taking lessons. And then you practice.
He's saying it takes a long time to get to the point where you can play what you want to play. And the instrument we want to play is the essential self in its higher order. We're moving into that now. And yes, Ivan, baby steps, but we've taken baby steps too. We've taken, and what's being offered to us at this point is the moment of redemption. We can redeem our new man. We can redeem our place. We can redeem our position in the new land. Now, how you do it is the same way that we've worked with all of the sacrifices. And there's a good explanation of the last one on super efforts that JW put on, Jamal put on, for the previous chapter 13 or sacrifice 13, and how he learned, and it's part of his bones at this point what super effort means, because he's done it over and over and over and over again. So he knows he can get there. In the same way, we have to know that we can get to the point called the essential self. Like right now. Okay? When you can get there, then something different is possible. And now, part two of the chapter comes forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right. I just wanted to say...
Yes, I want to hear
comments. Let's hear the comment.
Go ahead. Okay, good. This is good.
Hold on.
Hang on.
Action.
Simon? Simon, are you there? Simon?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you read the comments of Tianjo and Pith, please?
Okay. I'm going to get a little bit from Molly Midway. He says, anything manifested counts as negative, mostly. Pith answers, exactly. They are negative because they are mechanical. Molly Midway, if the manifestations comes from the machine, Pith, mechanically a rhythm, mechanically rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
I'm going to go into mechanically rhythm.
Yes, good.
Now, Pith, wait a second, Pianjo, actions by the new man is essential. The absolute does not drive parked vehicles. We act on chaos. Pith says, this helped me.
I've parked vehicles. Yeah.
Go ahead, Simon.
Pith says, this helped me. The man makes a choice to climb the mountain. He starts with exuberance, but quickly finds he can no longer carry all his physical belongings. So he lets them go near the foot of the mountains. Of the mountain.
Pith. Climber, as the mountaineer moves forward, he realizes, or she realizes also, they're able to let that go. They realize, oh, I don't need that particular thing. Because when I was planning the journey, I thought I did, thought I needed to take it. But when you're off, actually on it, you realize, you see I am able to drop that aside. I'm able. You discover it in your action. You begin to drive the new man. You begin to do action. And in that action, then, we can look at, then, the very last part here.
That's gathering the ability, right?
Yeah, and Emma is saying that's gathering
the
ability. We're gathering the ability as we actually stand and move about in that world. Remember, there's no particular map for that world. As you were talking about last week with the prayer absolute.
Yeah.
There's no specific map. My map is definitely different than the map that you have, I guarantee it. But I nevertheless have a map that is my own. And I gather my ability by practicing. And I practice and I go out a little bit further, and then I practice more, and I'm able to get farther out there. Even to the edge of the map where it says, do not enter here.
Abandon all hope, all ye who enter here.
I nevertheless have gone there. In order to move into the field of love itself, this is where we are now. I'm now on page 228. While within this magnetic field of pure love, one becomes love itself, a catalyst, not an element. And so one cannot experience love itself as an independently existing force. Suddenly we jump to this kind of commentary, Ivan. How does it follow? We're talking about sacrifice, giving up the old man, and then boom, we're talking about love? What does that mean?
Well, you're talking about love in a chemical interaction. So you're really in alchemy all of a sudden. You're in an alchemical formula.
But it's actually not all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You're actually, when you stand in the moment of true sacrifice, don't forget sacrifice isn't actually giving something up. In the concept of sacrifice, we do something and sacrifice it to the higher and for the higher. And when you do that, it cleanses the ground. So you now are standing in a very different and brand new place. You're standing on new ground at that point. So we've gone through that, and now we're standing in something called the field of love itself, capital L. While within this magnetic field, within this magnetic field of pure love, one becomes love itself, a catalyst, not an element. So one cannot experience love itself as an independently existing force. What does that mean? Somebody, anybody? Ivan.
I'm going to tackle that.
Hey, what does
somebody
it mean?
Somebody else tackle it.
Is there any comments about that? Okay, so what does it mean, this idea of standing in the magnetic field of pure love? What could it possibly mean? One becomes love itself, a catalyst.
Well, it strikes me from what the presentation that you're giving, the perspective that you're giving on this, you're standing there in the stream of love because now you've given up buffers. You know, you've surpassed the barriers and dissolved or abandoned the separation, the buffers, the protection. You know,
nice. To abandon the separation, just note that, and then, Matt?
Oh, and to me it sounds a lot like going back to the original point of giving up ordinary compassion.
Yeah, so it's giving up ordinary compassion. And we have to remember what Piff told us here, sacrificing our highest ideals. If we sacrifice our highest ideals, that's our biggest stop. That's our biggest guns, right?
Yeah, well, it's also, I think we are also sacrificing union, if I understand these statements correctly. In other words, again, it's the idea, like you're not becoming the lover or the beloved. You're not part of that lover and beloved.
But what are you?
Happening. You're the catalyst. The catalyst is suggesting that you are the part that needs to be present through which the process happens. The love can flow and transform and do what it has to do since you're present, which is like I think is like the prayer absolute idea.
Many years ago,
like,
there was a time I was a young man.
Uh-oh.
And it's true.
Hard as it is to believe,
and I don't have a photograph to prove it, and I don't know if I trust photographs anyway. But I was working with a guy named Gregory Grover down in L.A., and the group was called the Spinoza Gurdjieff Group. And he would have private meetings with particular students, and I was working with this guy named Wendell, and we were working on a friendship together, which is a big part of that kind of work. And Gregory would do this thing, we were all quiet in his apartment, and he would do this thing of, okay, now we're going to go into silence. He called it that. Basically what it was is we went into presence, and the practice of presence, deep practice. It was just it was certainly earth-shattering. And you'd sit there in this electric silence. So I'm in the middle of all of this, right? And suddenly what dawns on me is a concept, an idea, a task before me. So gradually, they started coming out of it. It took me about another 3 to 4 minutes. I came out of it. I said, I realize that what I'm supposed to do is purify this vessel. Purify this vessel so that something can do something. So that if I can leave some room in this thing that is called not just me, I can be not me. And I can be in that purity of the pure vessel. Then there's a chance for something to come forth through me. Very, very difficult to do. And when you can do it, to hold the space is a great, that's skill. That's a skill ability. And you learn it over time. And what then, when you can stand in that moment of being the catalyst, when you can stand there for a little while, then something can flow through us. We all have that opportunity. We all have that opportunity. The way I put it, and I don't know if it's, I'm speculating, but at that moment in a sense, the Absolute has a channel through which the energy called pure love can manifest. And in this new land, through the new man, in the cleansed vessel, then the Absolute can walk on the earth and move forth.
Get some comments if you want me to read some.
Go ahead.
Mark Roach, and in the original, the former question you did about love, what it means to be there and the Catholics. Mark Roach says, it means that there is only the one. Piff answers, it's internal and omnidirectional.
Nice.
Marx Roach says there is no separation at that point. Beef continues, not a division or a distinction of loving. Yes, Mark, we are saying the same thing. Molly Midway says no protection, just one.
Just one, no protection. Emphasize, read Pips again, please, the omnidirectional.
It is internal and omnidirectional.
Okay. So emphasize that, write that down, and you will be in that space from time to time. You will be in that space. All we can do as beginners is notate it. We've gotten ourselves far enough along the path that we know that it's possible. Is Susan on the line, Molly? Huh? It's we bump into those spaces where we may not exactly know how to get there. We may not exactly know what to do when we're there. But let's just say accidents occur that get us there. Because of the work we're doing, and we've done this amount of work, it's put us like on the threshold of it, Ivan. Does that make sense? We're close to it.
Right.
So the sparks will happen every once in a while. Allow them to happen. That's called the moment of cleansing radiation. Okay? Can you stand in the moment of cleansing radiation? I guarantee you it is not pleasant because it truly burns away. It's like fast forward, baby.
Yeah, it burns karma.
It's a power wash. It burns that which is away. So our job is to hold ourselves, can we hold ourselves and place ourselves in those moments when they occur before us? When will they occur? They will occur. Keep your eyes peeled for that moment. Okay? You don't know when you will be called upon to hold that torch, even for just one moment. It might be 1 second in an exchange between you and someone else. Or the most difficult moment that you're having during the day, that clarity may come to you. That might be what energizes your ability to get to that other side. Okay? So we leave the old man and put on the new man. That can become and begin to become a conscious choice for us. It takes work. It takes effort. Go ahead, Ivan. Are you going to read it ahead?
No, well, I can read it. The catalyst, while profoundly affecting other elements, undergoes no change of its own during interaction in changing other elements from physical combination. And that is the formula.
So
they're saying that we are the catalyst? Are we the catalyst?
Yeah, this is...
Virtue of our being human body?
No. Not, okay, MA is asking the question, are we the catalyst just by virtue of being in a human body? The human body, being in the human biological machine, is the starting point. We have the ability to possibly become a catalyst if we do this form of work enough where our feet can stand in this new land.
This chapter is saying we are the catalyst if all of those higher centers are functioning. If the lower centers have shifted over their energy and their process, their functioning, is shifted over to the higher centers. This is what's happening. It's the awakened state of the machine, let's say. So the negative emotions, the ordinary compassion, the sentimentality, nostalgia for the absolute or whatever it is that you would ordinarily experience, you know, including, let's say, the desire for union, you know, to be part of a love union, a love relationship, you know, to join with the beloved, to be the lover, whatever. This is all, for this position here is beyond, you know, all of those sort of transactions or all those processes. This is more like a cataclysmic. This is a chemical fusion. There's some kind of cataclysmic transformation happens. This is a sacrifice of heart. You're not redeemed. You're not transformed in this paradigm here. You're not what's being sent to the higher, let's say. you're not. It's coming through you. You're a catalyst.
But the higher energy, it's a result of higher energy transference. However, that occurs not because the higher energy wants to transfer. It becomes you internally have opened up enough that there's enough empty space and pure space that it can come through. There's a longing for the absolute to come through and to extend onto this plane. If you look at the tree of life, it just wants, you know,
to make a landing place.
It wants to make a landing
place.
Are you that landing place? This, in a sense, is a very pragmatic chapter. Like, are you ready to show up for work?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And when the work is upon you, are you ready to stay there for just one more second? Are you ready to show up for work? And then if you are ready to show up for work, then maybe you become, because of the readiness and the cleanliness, and I don't mean this in a moral way, guys. I mean it very much in an electrical, chemical manner. Then something. And, you know, Kelly would call it, then you are, if you are igniting prayer absolute.
Your catalyst, you're present, so you're a part of a process where the pump is reversed, where the energy is being sent upwards instead of drawn downwards. If it's prayer absolute. But you know, this is this is the life of redemption. It's the life of redemption. The other thought I had in regard to that, you know, I know you were talking about the redemption of carrying out this process, and that so now you've acted as the essential self. You know, that in the essential life, you're carrying out redemption. But it also struck me that I thought of Dr. Lizardo in the Buckaroo Banzai saying, you know, you miserable humans on this miserable, dirty planet Earth, miserable lives. So if you know, what would be the redemption of one of these miserable, you know, three-brained beings on this mud-bound planet Earth, you know, way at the outer dregs of the galaxy. And so, you know, it could be the redemption of your machine life as well. This is to carry out, you know, put yourself in a position of necessity, whatever it takes to have this essence work happen.
It is
be the
possible.
Redemption, the redemption of having a life on Earth. That's another thought. You're miserable.
Simon?
I can't be
do you mind if I want to, apropos, I'm going to read a couple of comments about redemption.
Hey, please do.
Previous past comments that says, Lost Horizon says, in this whole process, aren't we climbing the steps that we previously descended, hence redemption?
Yes.
And Piangio says, yes, Lost, hence the buying back of our true nature.
Good. Continue.
That was said about redemption and nothing else about that. And Piff says it is yes, redemption or recapitulation. That was a very previous comments about that redemptions.
Okay, so we're getting near the end. Are there any comments toward the end that need to be read?
Susan did a comment that she said. Love is not a thing. It is a flow of energy.
Very good.
Molly Midway says, catalysts don't get change, but that causes it. They cause change.
Hey,
cause change, yeah.
Okay. Mark Roach says, all phenomena is illusion, as I once heard EJ say. It doesn't say some phenomena. It says all phenomena is illusion.
Well put. So we're getting to the end here, and we know now that these big concepts, these big ideas of standing in this new place are presented to us and are possible for us. Let's take that from time to time and realize these roles. And these are not roles for the common old man, the man of the ego. They're duties placed before us as working beings, and we have certain duties to perform, and that's part of our task here. So we're pretty close to the end, and I want to just thank everybody for coming, and we'll meet again next week, and we're going to do the sacrifice then of hope and a life of nothingness. So we'll take it up then. Okay?
Sure.
And you might, if you have thoughts to contribute, go ahead on the wingsofchaos.com and put those up now because they're fresh now. Take the 2 to 3, 5 minutes to do it.
Yeah, this would be, yeah,
it'll be useful.
It would be good actually to post, for folks to post some of those comments on redemption and on the, you know, on the process of love, you know, the
catalyst,
catalyst and the flow of love and the energies of love.
Thank you so much.
And okay, thank you.
David,
thank you.
Thanks,
thank you, George. Bye-bye.